So essentially, your Rushmore is Darren Randolph, Katie Taylor, Laura Whitmore, and me.
OTB AM's Mount Rushmore, live every weekday at 7:30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, I'm delighted to say we got Gareth Roberts of the Anfield Wrap with us to kick off the first of our new season depth charts. The new season is just 3 weeks away, Gareth. Can you believe it?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? It feels like we've only just stopped and then we're straight back in again. But I guess if you're a football fan, that's what you want. And it's a nice break away from everything that else that's going on in the world right now.
This is true. Football is finally fulfilling its function as the complete distraction we need from everything else. So when we were talking about doing these, I was thinking, the Liverpool one's actually not going to be that interesting because everybody knows their first team and it's set in stone. But once you start to get into it, you realise that actually there's quite a few talking points. And I suspect if you're a Liverpool fan, you're very interested to see what Liverpool are going to be able to do to make sure that they remain as not just the best team in England, but probably the best team in the world at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we already had the disappointment of not signing Timo Werner. It looked absolutely nailed on. He was fluttering his eyelashes at Liverpool for a long time, and it felt like, you know, that was reciprocated the other way. And it looked like it was, you know, it was a definite transfer that was going to happen, that he was definitely going to come to Anfield. We all watched the videos, we all got excited about it, and we all said, well, what an upgrade he would be on the likes of Divock Origi and Shaqiri, who are the backup to the front three currently. And then Liverpool, you know, pulled away from it, said it wasn't the right time, said, you know, with the uncertainty around finances and football and fans being back in the ground, everything else, that they didn't feel it was right to spend that amount of money on a player. So that was disappointing, but also as well, it was a bit of a sign that, you know, Liverpool do want to do something around the front three, around backup. I wonder how much of it was down to wanting to also shift Shaqiri, Origi out, and whether they'll still be able to do that now. Because I think everything's really up in the air, and it'll be interesting how the transfer market unfolds, because I think everyone, there's a little bit of everyone waiting to see what everyone else is doing.
Traditionally, if you look back to the glory days of Liverpool in the 70s and 80s, you can see that they have always had the philosophy of buying really good players and adding to the squads. You know, you think of when Keegan leaves, they can survive because they're able to buy well. You think of adding Kenny Dalglish to the team. They were always able to go out and add players who either made an impact immediately or over a couple of seasons, even back to getting Barnes into the team. It's like, oh, that's a big signing of a really top quality player. That hasn't quite really been how the last 18 months have gone since Van Dijk's arrival, obviously. You know, you've got to take that. Are they not going to do that anymore? Is the team so good now that you can't actually buy somebody? Even, you know, the signing that they missed out on was somebody who was coming in essentially to be first sub off the bench for the front three.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's a very good point. I mean, it has no doubt changed. I mean, what I would add to what you said there is that Liverpool now have become a team who are not selling the best players either. And for a long time, you know, that was the case. You know, Coutinho most recently, but before that, you know, Alonso goes, Torres goes, you know, and there was, it seemed to be that, you know, players were using Liverpool as a stepping stone. I think that stopped. And that's a good thing. And we're managing to hang on to our stars now. And there's a lot to be said for that. And you look at sort of the appearances across the last two seasons, the core of the side has been playing together for two seasons now. And there's one or two areas of the pitch, I think, where you would say Liverpool could do with backup. Would you say that they could do with strengthening there? I think that's where the difficulty comes in, because, you know, we've just won the league. We've just won the World Club Cup. We're still clinging on to the European Cup for now until someone else wins it. So, you know, it's hard to sort of get better that quality without paying out absolute fortunes. And I genuinely believe what Klopp says as well about sort of wanting to give players like Curtis Jones a pathway to the first team, equally someone like Harvey Elliott as well. You know, he's only a teenager, Harvey, but anyone that's watched him play football is excited about him, because his confidence is unbelievable. What he's capable of at this young age is unbelievable. So will he be able to contribute around the periphery next season? Maybe. You've got Brewster coming back from his loan spell at Swansea as well. Maybe he gets another chance. So I understand that there's always a clamour to spend big, and I'm among it. I'd love, you know, we're being linked with Thiago. I'd love to see Thiago playing for Liverpool. I'd love to see us spend the money. But also, there's another side of my brain which says right now, it feels a little bit wrong to be pushing for Liverpool to be spending millions and millions of pounds when we're still coming out of a pandemic, when Liverpool still don't know what the situation will be financially. And I've seen, you know, some of our fans saying things like, are we the only club that's affected by this then? But obviously not. I mean, you know, Arsenal have literally letting some staff go. Manchester United, David Gill at Manchester United has constantly talked about the effect on the finances there and how much they're losing through not having people in the ground. It's not just fans, it's sponsors. There's advertising that will be seeping away. The TV money is not what the TV money was. You know, there's all little bits that they've lost out on. And then there's the uncertainty as well, like I mentioned before, of who you can actually shift out. So, you know, Lovren's gone for us. Lallana's gone for us. So there's a couple of people off the wage bill. So that would suggest, you know, there's something to spend there. But will they go mad and will they spend big? I think the Timo Werner thing suggests not. But I can still imagine one or two coming in.
It's an interesting point that you make about being able to hold on to the stars. And I guess there's a premium on holding on to what you've got in the current financial crisis, or the financial crisis that's coming down the tracks in a little while. And like, I remember, was it last summer when Sadio Mane was semi-linked with Real Madrid? Maybe it was the summer before. Like, those links just don't happen this summer for that reason. But also because, like, you look at Friday night and Barcelona are a team who look in disgrace. Real Madrid don't exactly look like they're in an amazing place. I'd say if you're Sadio Mane, even if Liverpool weren't as high-flying as they were right now, you're not really looking at Spain and thinking, I might get a better career there or a better chance of success there. So it's a win-win with everything that's happening around Europe at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, you know, players have only got a relatively short time as a professional football player at the very top. But, you know, all your dreams can be fulfilled at Anfield. It's not just a sort of, we're not having to lean on the history anymore and the romance of the club. We can say we're champions of the Premier League. We lifted the World Club Cup. We expect to go far in Europe next season. So all of those players that you mentioned and more will think, well, why would I leave right now? I'm having a great time here. So I don't imagine, you're right that the links aren't even there, and that when the links have been there, they haven't been from anyone you would really trust, because Liverpool have got them all tied up. I think that's another thing to think about the finances as well, is that, you know, when FSG came in, they said that the finances behind the scenes were shocking, and a lot of players were on a lot of money who perhaps didn't deserve to be, and they moved more towards incentivized contracts. So that being the case, you would imagine it's fair to say that they've paid out quite a lot because Liverpool have won what they've won. There would have been all kinds of bonuses there. So I think people assume that there's a lot of money swirling around, and because Liverpool didn't really spend last summer, there's only really Minamino who's came in, that, you know, there'll be loads of money to spend. I'm not too sure. I think they've rewarded the lads who were there, and I'm hoping that that will be rewarded with loyalty back the other way. The only player really that there's a concern around at the moment is Genie Wijnaldum, because he's the only one who hasn't signed a longer-term contract. I'm not quite sure why that is. I'd like to see him sign. I think he's a good player for us. He's reliable, he's robust, he plays almost every game for us. But that seems to be hanging in the air. But other than that, all the big names, all the big stars, ordinarily in the summer, you'd be really worried of all those names you said coming in to have a snip, have a swoop. And it's just not happening this time around. You know, I think we're going to be able to hang on to them all. So that means for me that, yes, strengthen around the periphery, do business if you can. But, you know, as much as people clamour for transfers, I don't think it's urgent. I mean, you know, if you said to me, we're going to start with the squad we've got, I'd be like, OK, I'm fine with that. I think we'll be OK. We've got the left back in from Greece, Kostas, and I think he looks great. He looks like a, you know, a Robertson light, if you like. And Robertson's played an awful lot of football last two seasons. He's the one who you think, he's not really got a break. Milner didn't want to play at left-back anymore, so we did need to do some business there. We've done that one. I think maybe we need a centre-half, and as I say, a top-class backup, maybe for the front three. But beyond that, we're all right. We're fairly well stocked, and we've got some young kids coming through as well.
Oh, and this is the first of the depth charts that we're doing for new watchers, for new listeners. How does it work?
Well, for anybody coming to this fresh who wouldn't be familiar with our rugby series, I'm not sure what our crossover appeal is here. We're going to go position by position, pick the top two or three available talents in your team and put them in order. Usually when we do these things, we effectively pick a starting 11 or a starting 15 as it would be in rugby, and then go position by position in terms of second or third best. But with Liverpool, the first 11 basically picks itself, or at least it has done for this season. We may as well actually start with the front, because we've been talking a lot about that, Gareth. And what we're going to do is, obviously, it's Firmino, Mane, and it's Salah. You don't need to tell the audience that that's a starting three. So the question here then is, who is your fourth choice attacker?
I mean, I guess the obvious one to say is Divock Origi, but he's really sort of split an opinion even more than ever now. And I think the season just gone was not his best, by his own admission, I would guess, as well. He didn't do so much, you know, after being the star of the European Cup final, getting that goal that sealed the win against Tottenham Hotspur. He's not done so much this season. And then beyond him, you're looking at maybe Shaqiri. But the front three play so often that, you know, it's not really mattered too much. You know, that we, touch wood, we've been really lucky with injuries. We've got a sort of robust team. So we've not had to sort of lean on Divock that much. And again, it sort of begs the question of, well, who would want to come to Liverpool and take that role, you know, knowing that you've got those front three ahead of you? I think that's quite difficult to recruit. Not impossible, but makes it difficult. So, yeah, Divock's probably the next one down. Then you've got Shaqiri. And I mentioned before that Rian Brewster is likely to return to Liverpool. And I imagine get a chance. And the reason I say that is I think, you know, people might say, okay, well, he was scoring goals for Swansea and the Premier League's a different kettle of fish, and I would agree with that. But I think if you listen to what Jurgen Klopp was saying when Daniel Sturridge left, he was talking then about Rian getting a chance and about there being an opening there for him. Now, he did get a few little goals. Perhaps Klopp thought he didn't really take that chance and that he'd be better served going out on loan. But he's been good on loan. Swansea want to keep him by all accounts. The fans love him there. There are other clubs sniffing around as well. So, again, it could be, well, what kind of money could you get for him? And would that facilitate another deal? Or will he stick with him and give him one more chance? It remains to be seen. But there hasn't been a lot of other links with forwards, which I think is interesting. The main sort of gossip at the moment, if you like, is surrounding Thiago. There's not been too much around anyone that would serve as a backup to the front three.
So are we saying Origi is your first man off the bench, and then your fifth choice is Shaqiri, with sixth choice being Rian Brewster? Are we looking at it like that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you've got Harvey Elliott kicking around as well, who I mentioned before, and he's made a couple of appearances on the bench. But I mean, he is literally a teenager. I think you're more likely to see Harvey in the cup competitions than you are in the Premier League or the Champions League. But we shall see. I mean, you know, I think the sky's the limit for Harvey. He is really that good. You know, it's worth remembering that when Liverpool signed him, Real Madrid were having a sniff round. So, you know, he's got a lot of talent. And he may well be one that, you know, comes off the bench a few times but proves himself and then ends up higher up the pecking order than what we're currently saying. But right now, you know, I think Origi's top of the list. He's the man with the shirt, you know, albeit that he may well go. There was interest in him previous, but I don't think Liverpool are interested in selling him on the cheap. I think they would rather keep him in place and know what you've got with him than get you up for a lower fee. So it'll be interesting if anyone wants to stump up for Origi. I think Liverpool would sell, but they'd have to pay top whack.
Bournemouth getting relegated was a bit of a disaster for those fringe players around Liverpool.
Absolutely.
40 million quid Bournemouth have given Liverpool over the last 4 or 5 years for various fringe players who never quite made it at Bournemouth. Let's talk about the midfielders next, because I think this is like, we can literally spend a full hour on the Liverpool constellation of the Liverpool midfield. There's generally four players into three, but then when you look back at the various formations and partnerships that he's played, like where does Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain fit into the depth chart, for example? Give us your first three anyway, and that'll Jordan Henderson's in, right?
Jordan Henderson's in, yeah, he's the captain. Who else is in there? Wijnaldum's in, who I mentioned before, albeit that, you know, there is this thing about his contract, but I don't get the impression he's going. I think he might see out his contract, but I don't think he's going to go now. So Wijnaldum's in there with him, and then Fabinho. Fabinho's been brilliant, one of my favourite players at Liverpool right now. And I think we can expect a lot from him in the coming season. So I would say that's your starting midfield, the people with the shirts, if you like. You mentioned Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think it's an interesting one with him in terms of, well, what is he and where is he going to play and what's he doing? And, you know, I think one of the reasons he got frustrated that Arsenal was being used in a variety of positions. And yet here he is at Liverpool, and it may well be the same again. You know, we mentioned the front three before. You know, there's an argument to say he can play in the front three, and he has done at times, although he's not looked particularly comfortable there for me. He's even played at fullback in his career, but I'm not sure how well that would go down with him if you're asking him to start filling in there. But yeah, he's an interesting one, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and he's been frustrated and he's shown it as well. I mean, there's a game where he was substituted and he was punching the seats when he got taken off. He later apologised, but he said himself it's been a frustrating time. I mean, he obviously was out for a season essentially. So, you know, maybe there is another dawn for him, but I don't think he's anywhere near a starting position in midfield right now.
And this is the thing that we often encounter when we do a depth chart, is that you have somebody who's versatile, and that automatically means that they're lower down the depth chart in a couple of positions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the case with him. Like, the, you know, there are a lot of people, including myself at times, who say, well, what is he? And where is his best position? And what games are you playing him in? I mean, you know, there's an argument to say it's a nice problem to have in that, you know, he could fill in a number of positions. But I think, as I said, he came to Liverpool hoping he was going to be coached and be starting in one particular position. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, when he's been at his best, when he's bursting from midfield and scoring the goals like he did against Manchester City in Europe and things like that, you know, he's been brilliant, but finding that form, or, you know, more regularly has been difficult for him.
How likely is it that Naby Keita becomes a starter this season? Because his form before the end of the resumption was pretty good.
Yeah, he looked good when football came back. On June the 21st, Naby, I think, has been one of the stars, and I think we've all been waiting for him to explode. You know, we saw what we saw him do at Leipzig. We paid a big fee for him. We then had to wait a season for him actually to arrive at Anfield. And then since he's been here, you've seen flashes of absolute brilliance from him at times, and it's just frustrating that he can't do that more. I think he's been hindered by some injuries. He could do with a little bit more luck around that. But he seems to have settled a bit more now as well. I think, you know, this is important as well, in that, you know, you see him now, he seems to be having a bit more of a laugh with the players when you see footage from training. You know, stuff was coming out where he was holding the Premier League and he was laughing along with some of the lads. Now I think maybe he's getting a bit more of a grip of the language as well. So yeah, I've got high hopes for him. I think against some of the sides that choose to sit in against Liverpool, which is quite a lot these days, he's the type of player who can unlock the defence. And everyone knows that, you know, often we play the three that I said before in midfield, and they're almost acting as a wall while the fullbacks crack on with creating chances. But I think sometimes you need a little bit more than that, particularly, as I say, at home when sides are sitting in. And I feel like Naby can be that extra little bit of creativity from midfield. So we shall see. But right now, I would say he's you know, he's higher up the pecking order. He's closer to getting a regular start, but he's still not budging any of those three for me right now. But yeah, high hopes for him though.
Well, let's spill forward 2 weeks when the Thiago deal is done, after Bayern Munich have officially won the Champions League and he's coming with his Champions League medal and his amazing career. Where does he fit? Where would he fit at that point in?
It's interesting with him. I wonder myself. I mean, you look at who he's played for and where he's playing right now. You look at his quality, you look what he's able to do. But then you also look at his age and his injury record, and it's sort of, you know, balancing up the two. And with Klopp signings, you know, traditionally there's been quite a few of them now. Robertson's one, Fabinho's one, where they have a settling in period because they almost aren't used to the pace of the training, the pace of the games, how much they're expected to press and all that kind of stuff. So I wonder with Thiago about that. I mean, you know, obviously Bayern aren't shy of pressing themselves. And I do kind of think, is he one where he's coming straight out the box and he's ready to go compared to maybe some of the other lads that we've bought in the past? I'd like to think so. Where he fits in straight away is really interesting though, because I mean, who'd you drop out of those that have already said? It's really different. You know, you don't really, I think a lot of Liverpool fans still, despite everything he's done, despite everything he's won now, would probably say, well, what about Henderson? But that just feels incredibly harsh on Henderson. You know, and I know sometimes football is harsh and managers sometimes are ruthless, but I don't know. I kind of feel like he'll be sort of getting one or two starts, kicking around on the bench at first and then feeling his way in and have to prove his worth, I guess, because you can't displace the boys, basically, that you've got now. And I think Klopp has shown that is his go-to midfield. All the big games, he turns to those lads. And I would expect that to sort of be the same for the foreseeable, really.
And then James Milner plays 35 games next season and picks up medals in every competition he plays. Like,
yeah, and he's great to have around, James. And you know, I think, you know, at some point, you wonder every pre-season, I think, you know, will this be the one where James Milner's legs go? And then they do the testing pre-season and Milner's always top of the list because he doesn't half look after himself. And he's one of the most motivated figures at Liverpool, I think, there is. The manager loves him, all his teammates love him. And he's one who can fit in anywhere. I mean, I don't think he wants to play fullback anymore. He's made that perfectly clear on a number of occasions. But I think he's a really useful player to have as well when you just want to see out a game, when you want a little bit more nous on the pitch. There was a moment last season, I can't remember the game now, but Liverpool just needed to see it out. And Milner just headed straight for that corner, 80-odd minutes. Battled off three of them for what seemed like 2 or 3 minutes, and then eventually it went out for a Liverpool throw. But it was exactly what needed to happen at that point in the game, and that's what he brings. He's got that experience. I think the other thing, you know, on a general point, just to go off to the left for a second, about this squad now is, we've always said for years as Liverpool fans, you need people in the dressing room who know what it takes to win a league. But we've now got a dressing room full of them. They've all done it. They know, and not only that, they've done it, but they got 97 points the season before as well, which in any other season would have won you the league. So I think that's really important now as well when we're talking about depth and we're talking about who they might buy. Again, how difficult is it to get better than that? And Thiago, you know, look, I guess on paper is better than some of our midfield, but he's got to get used to the system, the culture, the manager and everything else. And it might not even happen.
So I'm hearing Keita's 4, Milner and Oxlade-Chamberlain are 4.5, 5.
Yeah.
And then let's be having you, Thiago. Let's see what you can do.
They all
do.
Drop down when Thiago comes in. James Milner is going to retire after Curtis Jones, isn't he? Harvey Elliott. They're all going to be retired before James Milner at this point. Every year we're going to be having this conversation saying James Milner is 4.5, 5 at this point. But that sounds like a pretty good depth on midfield. Will we move on to the backs? Will we have a look at what's happening at the heart of defence? So obviously this kind of like much of the team is picking itself at the moment between Van Dijk, Joe Gomez. Your option number 3, though, there could have been an argument that perhaps Dejan Lovren was pushing ahead of Joel Matip. That argument is done. Dejan Lovren is out of the club. Does that mean that Liverpool now need to dip back into the transfer market to increase that depth?
Yeah, I think it's interesting on that. Matip doesn't have the best injury record. Joe Gomez has been unfortunate with injuries, but I think some of his injuries are more, you know, it's not sort of, he's had impact injuries is what I'm trying to say. So I don't think there's like a huge conversation about Gomez and injuries where maybe there is a little bit with Matter. In terms of depth at centre-half, I think still, yeah, maybe one more. I wonder whether you can get an experienced player in who sort of wouldn't mind being in and around the squad and on the bench and there to break glass and use if you want. I'm thinking someone like when we had Ragnar Klavan, you know, he thought he'd won the lottery when he got to come to Liverpool and was happy to just be in and around the squad. And then when called upon, he was okay and he did the job. And I wonder about a centre-half like that because there does seem to be quite a big drop-off once you pass the players we've mentioned there, because then you're looking at Hoover, you're looking at Van der Berg, and they're young lads, they're teenage lads, and there's a lot being said about them being promising and everything else, but you don't really want to be going into any sort of prolonged period of fixtures with teenage lads at centre-half, I wouldn't say. So you've got the option that Fabinho can move back into centre-half, and he's done that before for Liverpool, but I think you miss him in midfield. But then back to the conversation we just had a second ago, I guess if you're moving Fabinho into centre-half in a situation where you need them to, If we've got Thiago, well, he's not missed as much. So the stuff there, I think it'll depend on what Liverpool can do and what's out there. And I've no doubt at all that they're having a look, because, you know, Lovren wasn't the most loved player at Liverpool, I think it's fair to say. I think a lot of fans were sort of quite glad to see the back of him in the end. But I mean, you know, last season he's made 15 appearances for Liverpool. Season before, he's made 18. So, you know, he was still sort of getting a game here and there, and filling that with a teenage lad doesn't quite seem to fit when you think that Liverpool could be fighting on quite a lot of fronts. They'll want to defend the title. They'll want to go deep into Europe. I don't imagine they'd do anything different in the League Cup or the FA Cup to what they did last season. I think you see the kids, or, you know, in those competitions. But the other thing to bear in mind that I've been thinking about as well is, if you look at the fixtures and how they will run next season, it's a game every 3 days. It's absolutely relentless, because obviously we've lost some time. So I think you've got to turn to the squad a little bit more. So with all that in mind, I think, yeah, maybe they do look to recruit at centre-half.
So it sounds to me like Fabinho is actually the number three there, and that would make the most sense.
Yeah. You know, I'd say so. The way things stand, I would say so. I mean, Matip's been really good at times. I think he's a little bit underrated because of the injuries had and stuff like that. I think he improved, he grew into himself. He was first choice at one point. But I think Joe Gomez has got the shirt next to Van Dijk right now. I mean, that's the one we really don't want to happen, is anything happening to Van Dijk. But he's been an absolute rock and played virtually every game. And seems to, you know, shrug off any idea of injury. Long may that continue, because I don't think we want any period without Van Dijk kicking around. But yeah, Van Dijk's obviously top, Gomez alongside him. And yeah, Fabinho did absolutely fine at centre-half, and he's played full-back in his career as well. He's full-back at Monaco, so I don't think he'd have any trouble slotting in the defence if we need him to. Then you've got Matip. And then the kids. But as I say, I think someone comes in between those options.
And the fullbacks are fairly straightforward, are they?
Sorry, what was that?
The fullbacks are very straightforward.
Yeah, pretty much. And certainly now that we've recruited at left back, so we've got Tsimikas in. And I think that was the big problem, having a left footer that could stand in for Robertson. Milner did it. But Milner didn't enjoy it, and Milner was vocal about not enjoying it. I think also as well, you know, for all that we love Milner, and we were joking before about sort of his age and the fact that it seems like he'll go on forever, I think the way Liverpool used the fullbacks was a little bit testing for Milner, because, you know, you really are sort of up and down for the whole of the game. You're expected to put balls in the box, and then you're expected to be defending your own box very soon after. And I think he did find that a little bit of a test. That, you know, picked up one or two bookings there. Had a tough time against Zaha, I seem to remember as well. And pretty much said in an interview, I don't want to do that again, you know, not for any kind of prolonged period. So Liverpool have sorted that out now. They bought someone there. We've seen various sort of stick and plaster options at left back that didn't really work. And then beyond that, you were going all the way down to, I think, Adam Lewis, someone like that, who's, you know, a young lad, and again, someone you wouldn't expect to see regularly in the Premier League at this stage. So, yeah, Robertson first choice, Tsimikas second choice. On the other side, obviously, Trent, who was absolutely brilliant again last season, his first choice, and is going to play 99% of the games, you would imagine, in the league. And then beyond that, you've got Nico Williams, who's done really, really well, looked really confident. Looked less confident when he played him on the wrong side, when he played him against Brighton. He got had a bit of a tough time and ended up taking him off, I think, there. But on the right, he's looked absolutely fine. He's looked very much sort of Trent light, likes getting forward, not afraid to try a shot. And it looks like he's being coached to be the backup to Trent. So I think, yeah, that's done and dusted for the fullbacks.
And then obviously it's Alisson down to Adrian in goals. I presume there's going to be no movement there, even around Adrian this offseason.
Or is Karius not kicking around again?
Yeah. Karius is kicking around, but I'd be very, very surprised to ever see him in a Liverpool team again. It's Adrian. Listen, some people were harsh, I thought, towards the end of last season about Adrian. When he, you know, yes, he made one or two mistakes, but I kind of think, you know, what are you expecting from a backup goalkeeper? I think he did fine across the course of the season. He was obviously called in unexpectedly day one against Norwich last season when Alisson was injured. And he did absolutely fine for me. Look, did make one or two mistakes, but I'm all right with that. He's a backup goalkeeper, and Alisson's one of the best goalkeepers, if not the best goalkeeper in the world. So there's going to be some drop-off. But yeah, it's those two and Karius. I'm not expecting to see him any time soon. I think we probably see Karius before you see Karius.
just a last one for me then, Gareth. You obviously broke down the depth chart there very well. It kind of removes the possibility of a real bolter coming through because they're well stacked in every position. But if I had to push you on one of the kids that we haven't really mentioned there making a big push, like I'm talking about Harvey Elliott here, Curtis Jones, Rhian Brewster, which of those are you expecting to make a bolt if one of them wants to do so?
I would say out of those, that Curtis Jones is probably the most promising in terms of you've already seen him fairly regularly starting to pop up now in match day squads. And I'm not looking out of place when he does get on the pitch either, more importantly. Again, he seems to understand the system. He's got the legs to get up and down the pitch. More than that as well, he's got the stature, I think. That's the key thing. I think with Elliot, he's got all the skill in the world, but he still does look like a boy, basically. And you kind of think, you know, could he get bullied a little bit by Premier League defenders? Whereas Curtis Jones, he's got the confidence, he's got the cockiness, but he's also got the physical stature. So for me, he's the one that benefits from Lallana leaving. I think he gets the minutes that Lallana was getting. He hopefully pops up at Old Trafford and scores like Lallana did last season. But yeah, Curtis Jones for me.
Gareth, great stuff. Thanks a million. You've been great with your time. Enjoy the shortest off-season of all time. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks a million, man.
Cheers, fellas.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.